Hello, it is 11:30 p.m. in New York, 6:30 a.m. in Johannesburg, and 11:30 a.m. in Bangkok. Welcome to the Expat Happy Hour. This is Sunday Schneiderbean from sundaybean.com, and I am a solution-oriented coach and intercultural strategist for individuals and organizations, and I am on a mission to help you adapt and succeed when living abroad and get you through any life transition. Now, my worst fear around having a baby in Bern, Switzerland, kind of came true when we come to not the health aspect, but the cultural aspect. I was in probably hour 14 of labor. I had no medication. I was in the birthing pool, and we were not progressing. And it was incredible pain. For any of you who've had a baby or been through what they call back labor, oh my God, it's excruciating. So I got out of the pool to try something different and smash my head against the wall to hope that that would help push the baby out. And just then, this is where my worst fear comes in, two doctors come in and they introduce themselves. Grüße Frau Schneider, ich heiße Frau Dr. So-and-so. And I was like, are you kidding me? I am dripping wet, buck naked, and now I have to extend my hand, shake hands, look them in the eye, say their name, introduce myself, when all I want to do is scream and put my head against the wall until this baby comes out. That is just a glimpse of some of the things that happen when you are having a child abroad. You're dealing with language differences, cultural differences. So, pregnant or not, any situation when you're in the hospital in another country or another language is stressful. And that is why we're so lucky to have high-risk pregnancy expert Parijot Deshpande with us as a guest today. This woman knows how to manage stress and anxiety in even life-threatening circumstances. Now, Parijot is the leading high-risk pregnancy expert. She educates and guides women on how to manage their stress, anxiety, and overall wellness so they can have healthier pregnancies and decrease their risk of preterm birth and really have the chance to give their baby a healthy start. Now, if that isn't awesome, I don't know what is. Now, Parijot isn't only a clinically trained therapist, she's also a wellness expert who speaks on the impact of stress on health and wellness. So, I mean, come on, who doesn't want to learn more about how to better manage their stress and anxiety? So, I am so pleased to have here Parijot here, and I want you to know something else about Parijot that's not related to her professional competencies. This woman is amazing. Now, I have the privilege to being friends with her over Facebook. I've known her for over a year, and I can't believe the posts that I see of her heartfeltly and diligently cooking for her son who was born preterm, and the way she prepares these meals so lovingly and carefully. It's amazing. I don't even know why this woman isn't a professional cook. So, in addition to that, she is a founder of a nonprofit organization in California called My Shahana. And it is just a pleasure to have you here at Expat Happy Hour, Parijot. So thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. You are so sweet.
Really, it's so exciting. So tell us, Parijot, how in the world did you get started to coach women who are battling high-risk pregnancy?
Well, it all started when I had one. I went through fertility treatment, which I knew I would likely have to go through. And after losing our first baby through a ruptured ectopic, I got pregnant again with my son. And it was just awful. It was such a complicated pregnancy. Even before I knew I was pregnant, I had my very first complication. And I spent somewhere around 18 weeks on bed rest, which was really hard for me because at that time, I just loved to be on the go. I was teaching at university. I was running my Sahana at the nonprofit. I was a therapist, so I was seeing clients. I loved being busy on the weekends and just go, 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 go. And then my doctor said, if you want to save this baby, you've got to put your feet up and you've got to stop that all. And I thought, oh my God, how am I going to do this?
I mean, for the people who are listening there, put that in perspective, 18 weeks. For if anybody out there is a go-getter or, you know, it's hard to sit down for half an hour. You feel guilty just watching an episode of television, right?
18 weeks.
That must have been incredibly challenging. And I didn't know that you had lost your first baby. I mean, I can't imagine how terrifying having a high-risk pregnancy is. And then with the history of having lost your first child, that must have been overwhelming for you.
It really was. You know, it started the pregnancy on this foot of uncertainty and so much fear that we'd already experienced the worst. And is that going to happen again? And then with every complication that came up, you know, I was only pregnant for 24 weeks and 5 days. And in that short amount of time, I had 8 different complications that came up. And with every single one, it was, oh God, is this it? Is this it? Are we losing him? Are we losing him? For the first trimester of the pregnancy, actually, I would go to the doctor every single week because sometimes it was twice a week because I would be bleeding so much. And I thought, oh my God, this is it. And we go there and we see his heartbeat. And we go, oh, phew, he's here.
Oh, I don't
know how that's possible, but he's here. I go home for a few days.
My hair on my arms is just standing up. That is incredible. That's incredible. Yeah. How did you not give up hope? You know, there's probably people out there who would be like, well, I lost the first one. I'm going to lose this one. How did you stay optimistic? Or were you optimistic?
No, I'm glad you asked because it's very hard. You know, when you go through it yourself and then you're asked to put faith again the second time around, the third time around, however many times you have to try, it's very hard to keep up hope. And I think this really, what helped me was to be surrounded by a lot of people who were holding me up. I'll be honest, I had those days where I thought, oh my gosh, I don't know how I'm going to get through another hour. And those moments happen, but by acknowledging that and giving space for that, it actually, for me, it opened up the space inside to regain that hope and to really focus on the ultimate vision, which is doing everything I possibly could to bring this baby home.
Wow. So basically what you're saying is one way to keep your hope alive, I'm hearing you say, surround yourself with people who are holding you up. And I'm also hearing, take it probably not just day by day, but maybe even hour by hour to try to make it through. Yeah. Wow. So tell us, I mean, I'm sure everything was terrifying. What was the scariest part of this whole experience?
Oh gosh, there's so many to choose from. We had a really difficult time, but I think the scariest moment was after he was born. And, you know,
it
was knowing that, you know, there were definitely a lot of scary moments during the pregnancy. It was constantly worrying that the next time I go into the doctor's office, she's going to tell me there's no heartbeat. But once the pregnancy was over, you know, when I was pregnant, there was a feeling that I could still do something, that as long as I ate well or I slept well or I kept my stress down or, you know, I could still do something. And as soon as he was born, that was over. You know, that phase was done. And because he was born so early, he was born at 24 weeks and 5 days, which is really the edge of viability out here. And his survival was not guaranteed. You know, they'd given us.
I honestly didn't even know you could. I didn't know a baby could survive that early. I thought it was 25 weeks was barely possible.
Right. We're very lucky out here that babies, even as early as 23 weeks, they can survive. And I've even heard of 22 weeks, a handful of them surviving. So we're very lucky with the technology that we have here. But the odds aren't great. You know, the odds were definitely against his favor. And he had a very hard uphill battle to fight to be able to come home. And part of that included just being able to breathe, because obviously being born so early, his lungs were extremely immature. And so he was ventilated for almost 2 months. And about 3 weeks into his life, he was about three weeks old. And I was holding him just, it was like the second or third time that I was holding him, and he turned gray because he had stopped breathing. And we did not know if that was the last moment that I was going to ever hold him again. And I remember kissing him on the top of his head. He had a little tiny little beanie on. I thought, you have to breathe. And just doing everything I could to send the messages through the airwaves or whatever I could do to just hope that he would make it through that.
Wow. You are so lucky that you, and for those of you who don't know, Parijat, she's based in California, and you had him in California, is that right?
Yes, I'm in California.
Yeah, so California obviously has excellent medical care, and thankfully you were in an area where they could give you the absolute best care. And later on, I want to ask you about you know, what someone should do when they don't have optimal care. But before we do that, I'm guessing that this experience is actually why you do what you do. So tell our audience, what is it exactly that you do, so they know what it really looks like?
Yeah, absolutely. So going through this whole experience, it became abundantly clear very quickly how unique a situation is when you have a high-risk pregnancy. It's a very different kind of experience than a typical pregnancy in terms of the emotional ups and downs and just the care that you need and how it impacts your health. And as a therapist, I thought, well, okay, I can just dig into my resources, talk to my colleagues, kind of look into the research and find something that can help me. There must be some book out there. There must be something that's going to be made for me. And there wasn't. You know, there were tons of typical pregnancy books that had maybe 2 pages outlined for high-risk pregnancies, and there wasn't a whole lot of research, and there definitely wasn't anyone out there who knew the lingo, who knew what they were doing when it came to the nuances of supporting somebody with a high-risk pregnancy. So that's when I decided, you know, I've got to do this. There was a moment in the hospital towards the end of my pregnancy, I had my hand on my belly talking to my son, and I thought, I'd said out loud, you know, if we survive this and we get to go home, I have to do this, because I cannot stand more women going through this feeling so completely alone. So what I do is I combine my training in clinical psychology and women's wellness, and I use that to help women really tune into their bodies, to learn what their bodies are saying and what they're asking for. I educate the women and their partners on how to navigate the medical system so they get the best care possible. And the ultimate goal of all of this is to help moms trust their bodies so they can make the best decisions for them and their baby. So no matter what happens, they know with complete confidence that they've done everything they could to protect that baby.
So you've just given me chills for the third time, and we've only been speaking for like 10 minutes. Oh my gosh, I was not prepared for this morning. I'm just, wow. So one thing I'm hearing from you is to tune to their bodies, because I'm sure people are just in their heads in a place of fear. You know, you want to fight or flight. So I totally get that why you would need to be in your body and not in a fear place, because the place of fear and anxiety is not going to be conducive for a healthy pregnancy. I totally get that. And I'm hearing this idea of navigating the medical system. You used a term in the beginning of what complication you had. I didn't understand it at all, because I don't have a medical background. I'm sure it's like a foreign language for people when they're there and they're feeling so vulnerable. And then the doctors are speaking a foreign language, so to speak. And you're trying to understand what's happening to you on an emotional level. And then you have the technical side where it makes you feel even more alienated.
Right. Absolutely. It's just hits from all end at some point. And it can leave you feeling like somebody's dropped you in the middle of the ocean and there's no help anywhere. And so a lot of the work that I do in terms of getting women to listen to their bodies is helping them feel grounded in a moment that feels so uncontrollable, and when they feel so helpless, just really reminding them that they do have that control, because there's one constant in all of this, which is their body and their knowledge of their body.
Right. And I get that. It's a lot of things are out of your control, right? And this is where I talk to my clients about, like, You need to let go of control where you don't have it and focus on where you do have control.
Absolutely.
And what I'm hearing, you know, the outcome is not really in our hands, but you can influence what you do have control over. And that's this mental and physical space in which the baby is working hard to thrive in. And sometimes that just, for whatever reason, isn't even enough. And that's unfortunately the outcome. But on other cases, what I'm hearing for you is that you can create a more positive outcome.
Right.
By really creating a more calm space. And I love that you talk about the navigating the medical system. You have control in what questions you ask, who you speak to, how you respond. You have control over the state of your body. And that feels comforting, I'm sure, for both, you know, parents, is where can we exercise control when you are feeling like you're in the middle of the ocean.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So pregnancy, I mean, it can feel scary even in a non-high-risk situation. And, you know, I want to shift our focus a little bit to, you know, whether it's high-risk or regular pregnancy, it has to do with stress and anxiety in the condition you give your baby. Now, I mentioned in the beginning a story where, you know, I was giving birth, thankfully, in a language that I understood, but the anxiety and the stress around navigating cultural practices that I didn't want to deal with during that moment. It's just a tiny, you know, sort of light example. But there are examples where I know I've seen, even in Switzerland, women who didn't speak German or French and had to give birth in a language they didn't understand, or they were trying to understand the other person's English. You know, it's not a situation where you want to be focusing on something else. You want to be focusing on giving birth and really letting go to the process. I even had a friend in Ouagadougou in September 2015, I believe, when there was a coup d'etat in Ouagadougou, Burkina Faso. She was around her due date.
Oh, boy.
And what happened is everything closed down. I mean, the city shut down, and it was considered dangerous to be, you know, driving around in the city because we didn't know what the RSP was going to do. And I remember watching her post on Facebook and going, oh my gosh, hold on to that baby, because if you go into labor now, where are you going to go? And in Ouagadougou, their health care facilities are not on par with, let's say, California, you know, so that would have made me nervous, in a sense. But thankfully, I mean, it turned out okay. She ended up having the baby October 1st when hospitals were open again. But so, what do you do when you either have a potentially high-risk pregnancy, or just like my friend, you're facing a really challenging circumstance and you've got healthcare systems that are subpar? I mean, what do you do in a situation like that?
You know, it all starts with, I think when you're in a situation like that, it's really easy to get overwhelmed by all these factors because there's so many, right? So many that are impacting, that could potentially impact. You see all your plans getting derailed and you start thinking of all these scenarios. Mm-hmm. And in that situation, when you know that you're going to hit up against particular hurdles, whether it's a language barrier or difficulties getting to the hospital or whatever that might be, the first thing that's really important, again, is to remember that you are the center. You are the constant. So get yourself grounded first. You know, remind yourself that you have the answers for your pregnancy right inside of you. There's not a single doctor that's going to be able to give an answer about what's happening in your body before you know that something's going on, right? So really trust that. And this is where prevention and planning are so, so important. And this is a big piece of the work that I do, is let's look ahead. Even though you're in the first trimester, let's look ahead and see what can we find that's going to potentially be a hurdle for you, and start making plans. And we're talking plans A through Z, as many as you need to feel like you have a backup that you can fall on when ABCD start falling through. By doing it that way, it actually, you know, it encourages you to think about your worries, but then take action so that you feel in control. You don't feel as helpless as the situation may seem. And that in and of itself is so critical to bringing that anxiety down, which is super, super important for the health of your pregnancy.
And that goes back to letting go of control where you don't have it and taking control of where you do.
Absolutely.
And, you know, so you know, I like that you mentioned about remember that you're the center. That goes back to where do I have control? And, you know, that I love this example of prevention and planning. I have lots of friends who, when we were living in Ouagadougou, they got pregnant and then they had to think about what do I do? Do I want to have a baby here? Do I want to go back to my home country and have the child in medical facilities that I feel more comfortable in or feel more confident in? And these are tough choices because by saying I'm going to leave, I'm going to fly out, you know, X months in advance, you leave either your first child at home, you know, back with your working partner, for example, or you bring a kid out of school and into a whole new cultural context back home, or, you know, if they've ever been to, for example, third culture kids were probably born abroad and see their local or their passport country as kind of an exotic place. So they don't live there all the time. They, you know, if they lived for 4 years in Burkina Faso, like my son, he feels really connected to Burkina Faso. Mm-hmm. So these decisions are really hard. And I'm hearing you say you need to think about them right at the beginning. What am I comfortable with? Do I want to have the baby in facilities that are here locally? And does that fit my comfort zone? Because I think every woman and every family has different comfort zones.
Absolutely.
And I'm hearing you say, make that decision really early so you can plan and respond.
Right. Exactly. And then you have that peace of mind to know that I have thought about it. And I know I have plans in place in case XYZ goes wrong. And that can bring a great sense of peace, especially when you are in a situation where there are potential hurdles that you can already identify.
So what are the things that we should be looking for? You know, because it is about choices that you have to make, whether it's a choice of, do I stay and have this baby in a language I don't understand? Do I fly out 4 months early and separate my family or bring them with me? Or even what do I do in this moment? So what should we be looking for women who are living abroad and are feeling vulnerable in this situation because of the factors that they're facing? What should we be looking for to make the best choice?
I think the first step is to sit down with yourself, you know, and I keep coming back to this, but you want to turn inwards and identify what are your values. And this is a really big piece of the work that I do, especially when it comes to making medical decisions, but it really applies to any decision at all during pregnancy, which is, what are your values? You know, we tend to think we know what they are. We have this general idea of what we think our values are in particular situations. But when we sit down to really identify concretely, when I'm pregnant and I'm in a situation where I don't have access to the quality of medical care that I would want, mm-hmm. how do I feel? What do I do? What do I want? When you really get that specific and you write it down, you type it out, and it becomes that concrete, it becomes very clear what your options truly are, which can address the overwhelm of, oh my gosh, what do I do? I don't know. You know, that feeling of there's too many choices, it automatically gets narrow because you are being led by your values, which are really the only thing that should be leading you when you start making a decision that big.
I am in 100% alignment with this. This is exactly what I mentioned when I talked about how I made the decision with my partner to take a little break during the coup and leave with my kids until things calm down. Mm-hmm. Because what can happen is you have a lot of shoulds. Oh, I should stay. I should tough it out. These guys are saying I should do that. That guy's saying I should do this. And you need to shut out the noise. Mm-hmm. And everybody can have their opinion. Everybody can have their value system or their ways of seeing it. But you need to make that decision for you and your family.
Absolutely.
And this is absolutely, if you go back to the values and for this crisis situation that we were in, our values were fun, freedom, and security. And I thought, how can I get those needs met? that doesn't feel like I can get them met right now. So what am I going to do next? And I love that idea. Instead of looking at it from the place of I could do this or could do that, I always talk about don't focus on strategies, focus on the need. And so if you have values, core values, those you need to get those values met. You need to live in alignment with those values. And only then, when you're clear with your values, you can think about strategies, not the other way around.
Absolutely. Completely agree with you. And in the case of a high-risk pregnancy, you may not know what your values are, right? Like, it wasn't something you expected. And so it's okay to have to stop and reevaluate your values at that point. That's okay, but it's important to do that as soon as you know that you have to make some big decisions.
Yeah. And this is, I mean, this is serious business, right? This is really serious business, and it's worth taking the time to create a space. I'm hearing, just recapping for everybody, surround yourself by people who support you, who hold you up. Remember, you are at the center of this situation where you have control. Being grounded is critical, and look for the answers inside you, and those answers are going to come from clarity on your values. So really great. And so tell us, Parishat, what's a little thing that you can do to lower your stress? I mean, this idea of being grounded, centering, what does that look like? So if you're in an extreme case, this is actually relevant for even expats who are not in a high-risk pregnancy situation. If you're feeling extreme stress and you want to lower your stress or come down from anxiety, what's something that we can do, something practical?
One of my favorite exercises that I like to teach pretty much everyone that I meet is called progressive relaxation. And it's something that you can do anywhere, anytime, whether you are super, super active during pregnancy or you are on hospital bed rest and can't move or anything in between. And that is to start from the top of your head and move all the way through each body part, all the way down to the tips of your toes. And you clench a body part. So for example, you start with your forehead and you clench it up really, really tight. And you breathe in for 4 or 5 seconds, however deep you can. And then you let go of your forehead so it relaxes, and you breathe out for double what you breathed in.
So I breathe in. I'm clenching my forehead.
Yes, I'm breathing in.
And then I'm let going of the forehead and breathing out?
Breathing out for eight.
Eight. Ooh, okay. That's probably the tricky part.
Yes. But that is the kicker right there, because you will feel your forehead and ultimately the rest of your body relax and just melt into the sofa or the floor or the bed, wherever you are. It is extremely powerful. And it is one of the tips that actually research has shown to even slow preterm contractions if you're having them, which sometimes come because of stress. So it is one that I teach. I teach everybody. I used to do it when I was pregnant. I still do it now. It is so, so phenomenal. If you do it properly from the tip of the top of your head all the way to your toes, it should take you about 10 to 15 minutes to do.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's great. So I'm guessing, one, you just said it can help stop preterm contractions. I'm hearing also it gets you back in your body. I mean, I work with clients all the time where they say we have frozen parts of your body where they can't feel anything.
Right.
Because our awareness is up in our head and not really in our body. So it gets you back in your body, literally.
Right, exactly.
And so this will work for anybody who's in a stressful situation. Yep. It's probably a great way to either start your day or to unwind.
Yeah, it's really great, especially at night. If you're struggling with insomnia due to pregnancy, it's really great way to get you to go to sleep.
Okay, gosh, so great. Oh my gosh, Parishat. So tell us, where can we find you? I mean, this is important, I think. One thing I think everybody needs to know is you don't need to be face-to-face to get this kind of support from Parishat. Anybody in the world, and that's especially important, I think, for expats who are in more remote areas who do not have access to good support when they're feeling anxiety during pregnancy. So how can we find you, Parishat?
I am kind of all over social media. It's kind of a new thing. You can find me on my website, parijatdeshpande.com. That's P-A-R-I-J-A-T-D-E-S-H-P-A-N-D-E.com. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram with the, I guess, the username Parijatdesh, P-A-R-I-J-A-T-D-E-S-H. So I'd love
I'll make sure that I get those written. I'll make sure that I get those typed out, you know, on the places that we share this on the podcast, that people can physically see that, so they don't make any typos.
Awesome.
And know how to get. They can also contact me directly if they can't find you. I'm happy to facilitate that connection. I'm so full of appreciation this morning, because there could be someone out there right now who is going through a pregnancy and feeling anxiety, or it could be someone who has a best friend who you know is struggling and feels sort of nervous about reaching out. I know there are certain cultures or even, you know, personal preferences where you feel like you should do it on your own, where you feel like it's a sign of weakness for asking for help, but actually it's really a sign of strength to reach out and get expert support. And like you said, do everything possible to create the conditions for the best possible outcome. And so I'm really, really grateful for the time that you've taken for us today. Tell us, Parijat, is there any last parting words of wisdom, especially for all of our expats around the world, that you have to share?
I would just say that the wisdom, the strength, and what you need to get through this is in you. And to just take it one day, one step at a time, but you can get through this.
Oh, so great. So wonderful. Parijat, takeaways for me: surround yourself by people who hold you up. Remember that you are at the center, and by being grounded and practicing techniques, like you mentioned, with practical things like progressive relaxation, you can ground yourself. By doing some exercises, like getting really clear on what your values are, you can find the answers inside you, and that will help you prevent trouble ahead and plan for whatever scenario that comes up, so you feel more at peace and more in control. So thank you so much. Oh my gosh, you guys, how amazing is it to have Parijat with us today? It's been so great to see how it connects as well to the work that I do with other clients, of really going back to the core values and letting go of control where you don't have it, and taking control where you do. You've been listening to the Expat Happy Hour with Sunday Bean. Thank you for joining me. I'll leave you with this last quote from an English preacher, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrows, but only empties today of its strengths. So with that note, I encourage you to focus on your strengths that you have today. Damn.